thankful I ought to come out today. Again, if I kind of cough a little bit up here, I've been down a little cold here this past. Hey, I'd like to talk about, I've seen a waging war on the family. I want to start out talking about, you know how when you purchase a house, one of the first things that you have to look for when you first purchase a house is the termites. Because the termites eat away at the foundation of your house. And that's kind of how sin is. Sin eats away at the foundation of a family. And we're going to talk about that today. That destructive force of sin. Sin is the most destructive choice. I know what you're thinking. And yes, the answer is yes. Sin is even more destructive than me hitting my hand down on this desk right now. And here are some blessings from the first family that God gave. The first family that's talked about in the Bible is Adam and Eve. You know, he blessed the family with making them in his image. You know, he gave them one of the greatest jobs, and that was just to keep up the garden and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. You know, he just gave them some blessings. And life was good, and life was perfect. And life was how it was supposed to be. But something tragic was about to happen, and we're going to talk about it here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal in the garden at that time. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat of the tree of the garden? We have no idea how long life was perfect before the serpent came to this woman. We don't know if this was their first encounter, but we do know that she wasn't amazed, she wasn't afraid or scared or shocked that a snake was talking to her. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from any other tree in the garden, but God said, do not eat from the tree of fruit of life in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. And the serpent told her, surely you will not die. He said, the only reason why God don't want you here is because you will not look like you're not, you are no good and evil just like he does. So she ate the fruit, and she also gave some to Adam. And in the sermon today, we don't want to miss this one point that we don't want to miss here. The first family was destroyed because of poor choices. Adam and Eve were faced with choices. Eat the fruit, don't eat the fruit. Their choice was a poor one, and their choice had consequences. And I feel I need to clarify the difference between circumstances and choices. Circumstances is a situation you find that you have no control over. Cancer is a circumstance. You have no control over whether you have or don't, or whether you get or don't get cancer. Consequences is a situation that you have as a result of your poor choice. Like waking up the next morning with a hangover because you were drunk the night before. That is a choice. That's the consequences of your choice. I want to ask you, is your family being destroyed by your choices? If your family isn't the way you want it to be, you first need to recognize it. It's because of the circumstances or because of the consequences. And it is because of your choice you made. The good news is you can decide to make a different choice. The consequences of their choices. Let's continue reading verse 4 through 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, you surely shall not die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband and did eat. 17:10. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed figs leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst them, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called upon unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You heard it said that ignorance is bliss. In this case, Adam and Eve, their ignorance was wrong bliss. Don't let people convince you that you missed out on something you know is right. Their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked. So what did they do? They hid. They were ashamed. They didn't want anyone to see who they really were. Are you and your family hiding? Do you not want people to know who you really are? If people only knew how you really were, or people only knew how she really talks to me, we want to hide the real us because we are embarrassed and ashamed of how we really are. And so we put on this fake image of being a perfect family. I pray that that we will come out of hiding, that we will not be afraid to expose before God. Before our church family, we need to realize that as long as sin is a part of our world, perfection will never be a part of our family. It is my prayer that this sermon of family would cause us to come out of hiding, for husbands to step up and take the responsibility of their family, for wives to submit willingly to the leadership and love of their husband. The children will obedient, honor their mothers and fathers, and perhaps that is going to take some repentance and hear this today. It's going to take courage and apologize to God and to our families for the way that you behave. Let's together strive for that which God designed our families to enjoy. And let's take another look at consequences of their decision in verse 11 and 13. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I commanded that thou shalt not eat. And the man said, The woman that whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the fruit, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, the next consequence that comes from the result of poor decision is blame. As you see here, Adam was saying, It's not my fault. I wasn't the cause of this. It was the woman that you gave me. He pointed the blame on Eve, and then he pointed the blame on God, saying it was your fault. You gave me this woman. She gave it to me. So God turned to Eve, said, What have you done? She said, It was the snake. You know, he the one that tricked me into, you know, eating this apple, eating this fruit. So that was the next thing he did. He wanted to play the blame game. And at the end of the day, we are all responsible for the choices that we make for life, which we will be held accountable for, the choices that we make. God then goes to, and the judgment day is coming, and Adam and Eve, let's continue talking about in verse 14 to 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of the life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow in thy conception, and sorrow that shalt bring forth a child, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This will be the first prophecy. God told Satan that he would be defeated, and it would be through the offspring of woman. And so Jesus came to this world, crucified on the cross for the sin of the world. And when Jesus rose from the grave the third day later, after being in the tomb, Satan was defeated. Woman's consequences. I think we're all aware of the pain of childbirth. Even those of us who are males, you know, we don't really know the childbirth, but we see the struggles and everything that our wives or our sisters or mothers, well, not mothers, but our aunts or other females go through during childbirth. So that was one of the consequences of her actions and one of her choice that she made. It says, but let's discuss the second part is, your desires will be for your husband and he shall rule over you. God set up the husband to be the head of the household. This doesn't mean that the husband is a dictator or that his wife is a doormat or servant. It doesn't mean that the wife isn't valuable or meaningful. It doesn't mean that the wife has no opinion or say. The consequence of the woman is constantly desire the authority of her husband, which is the husband, the head of the home. It isn't because men are better than a woman. It isn't because men are smarter than women. It isn't because women are subservient to men. No. Women are equal but different. Women and men are different. They're equal but they're different. God loves men and women the same. Women and men are very different. Each one has a different strength. And in His wisdom, God has brought man and woman together to complement each other. But the consequences that the woman has as a result of her decision to sin, she will observe the authority of her husband. Well, now let's look at the man's consequences. The consequence of the man's decision to sin is found in verse 19. By the sweat of his brow, I'll bring that up so we can read from 17 to 19. And at the Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed the ground for the sake, and the sorrow shalt thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest to the ground, for out of this thou art taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Man's job. Men are consumed with work. We complain about jobs. We obsess about jobs. We are addicted to our job. We will find no satisfaction in our job, and this is our curse. Cain and Abel, you have heard some say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The kids became like their parents. In some ways, it's true. Cain killed Abel because of jealousy. Cain wanted what Abel had. God accepted. As Eve wanted what God had, and that's to know the different good and evil, and wanted to be like God also. And how did that come to this point with God in this verse? Adam and Eve had it good. They had intimate relationship with the Maker. So what went wrong? How did they go from walking with God to hiding from God? God's word was questioned. And that's what God really was saying. Satan there tried to convince Eve, and God really said. Satan did this when he tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He was trying to twist God's word to mean something that God never intended. As you look around society, there's a dangerous game being played. God's word is constantly being questioned and twisted. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to my Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Whatever works with you or whatever makes you happy is how they're telling you today. You can just, they're not really telling you that Jesus out there. They're trying to trick and twist the words and saying you can get into heaven by any kind of way. And that's what it's saying. It's just twisting the words. Maybe you have been living outside of. Maybe you've heard today, and you were wondering how your family has ended up the way it is. You've had dreams and visions of how your family should be. And as you look at it now, it's not at all the way you pictured your family to be. How did it get this way? And more importantly, how can I get it back to the way it used to be? Maybe you've been living outside the boundaries God has designed for you and your family. It's time to start living inside the boundaries God has set set up. Here's the first step in getting your family back to the way God intended. When God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, he asked the question, "Where are you?" Why did God ask this question? Because God didn't know where they were. Do you really believe God didn't know where they were? No. God knows everything. So why did he ask the person? Because he wanted to know if they knew where they were. And today, I want you to evaluate your family situation and then answer the question, where are you? The question that God asks is an indication that God truly, deeply deserves a close personal relationship with each of his children. Wherever you are in life, God wants you to be near him. Today, if you have a decision to make, maybe you are far from God this morning and you desire to draw closer. Whatever your decision is today, please come and make the decision before God, the witness here today. If you have sin in your family, the only cure is Jesus. Let's stand and sing the song that was selected.